had one of our young ladies, Lauren. I don't know if she's trying to advertise or what, but she said, "I got something for you." And so I told her I'm going to have to bring it up here. And plus, I mean, I might get a little thirsty. So she got me some Fiji water. And it's a real big one. And it's actually pretty good water. So I suggest you try it. Fiji water. Advertise me. Is that good? You're good? All right. Yeah, she's got one over there. All right. Well, if we can all stand real quick for the, we got a scripture I want to start out with. Everyone turn to Acts 28, 2 through 5. And while you're turning there, I want to just give a quick little background on what's going on and leading up to this scripture. In chapter 27, Paul is a prisoner on a ship, and he's on his way to go see the ruler. And as he was getting on the ship, he warned everyone that there was going to be problems, and they just didn't believe him. But when the wind started blowing and the boat started to rocking, they started to believe what he had said. And he had an angel that came to him, and it told him if everyone would stay on the ship, that they would all be saved. So they did that, and they crashed on the shore, and when they got there, they noticed something that was waiting for them. And that's what leads us into verses 2 through 5, and it says, you'd think I would have studied a little bit harder, right? People showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said amongst themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and left no harm. Now, I have all this to lead us up to in verse 2, where it says, "For they kindled a fire." That's what I'm going to talk about just for a little bit tonight. I'm not very long-winded, so that's good for, you know, everyone, because no one wants to hear me talk for a long time. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, again, for all you've done. Lord God, I ask that you would please just help me, Lord God, to share, Lord, what you have given me. Lord Jesus, as you bless the word, Lord Jesus, and the hearers as well. Lord Jesus, in your name, amen. You may be seated. We see in verse 2 that the people on the island saw that Paul and the people, that he was having a pretty bad day. Their ship just crashed. It was cold. It was rainy. And they needed something to make their day a little bit better. And so the people of the island started a fire. They kindled a fire for him to warm him up and help him dry off. And so they prepared this for him. And what we need to see here is that just like the people of this island who prepared a fire for those who saw coming offshore after a shipwreck, saw these people coming in, is that there are people who came before us, who saw ahead at us, and they knew that we would be coming down the line in life, and they knew that others would be there that needed to have God's fire in their lives and to help comfort and restore them from their shipwrecks, let's just call it. And so they did something about it. And there are so many lost souls that need Jesus in their lives, and they just need people like you and I to just keep the fire going. and lead them to the protection, the peace, the comfort, the love, the joy that only comes, really comes through Jesus. Now, we also see in the scripture Paul. Paul was being Paul, and he was deciding, I'm going to be a little helpful here, and he was going to go grab some firewood and help keep this fire going. So when he grabbed some to add to the fire, and he put the wood on the fire, a viper jumped out at him and latched onto him. And his reaction was just like, just shake it off into the fire. I know if I had a serpent lunge out at me and latch onto me, I would probably be screaming like a six-year-old girl, probably. I don't know. I would be like, I'd be freaking out. But, you know, he had faith in God, and he knew that God, no matter what was going on in his life, God had control of it. So he was just like, whatever, you know, God will take care of it. And nothing happened. Now, well, we also see in this, we also get the example of no matter what comes our way, we need to keep the fire going. I mean, vipers, things will come at us, they will latch on to us, things will come. Whenever I've always found whenever I'm doing something I think is right for God, and I feel like this is what I feel God wants me to do, all of a sudden, it just starts coming left and right at me. And then I'm thinking, well, I must be doing right now, because there's no other reason. I mean, if I was doing wrong, the devil would be like, hey, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine. But, you know, when he's coming after you and he's trying to put you down, you realize that, wow, I must be doing something right for God, and you keep on doing it. Right. Now, like I said, the vipers will come. But in Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. I mean, the enemy, that's the devil and his imps and all these principalities and all over the place. We have power over them. We can go to anywhere we need to go to reach souls, and we could say, God, lead me in here, and he will, and the enemy's going to have to flee. Now, and then nothing will hurt you. And if we remember, we just got to always remember that it's Jesus, it's God, and that's who we belong to, that's who we are. And so once we get that really through our head, like Paul did, when the serpent latched onto him, it was, okay, it's all right. You know, you can come at me, the fiery darts can come, and guess what? They're just going to bounce right off, and I'm just going to keep walking for Jesus. Now, we see the fire of God throughout the Bible, but the fire that is burning today started in the upper room. Throughout the years, some had let the fire dwindle and die down, but you know what? God never let it go out. He always kept an ember burning. He always allowed it to be there for when man was ready, I guess, to just say, hey, I know there's more to my life. There's more that I need to do. And they would seek God, and that they would find that amber. They would find it. And they would find it in the revelation of the gospel. And that's why we're all here today. And it's because they knew that their children would need it, and their friends and family would need it. So they would keep that fire burning and keep it going. Now, In my study, and I found a man that did just this very thing. He found the gospel. He knew that all of his family needed this. He knew that his neighbors, his relatives, his friends, they all needed this. And so he decided he would wanted to start a church. And it was in 1940, a man named William Klopp had found the gospel, and he wanted to start a church here in Racine. So this is hitting home for all of us. He wanted to start a church in Racine, so he did, but he realized that he wasn't pastor material. And so he got a hold of somebody that he knew that was ministering in Chicago named L.R. Mitchell, who was ministering in Chicago, and asked him to come and pastor this church in Racine. And so he agreed. And because of that, that a movement started in the Racine, Kenosha, and Milwaukee areas. That these men that felt the burden, they found that ember, and they started throwing wood on the fire, and they started, you know, kindling it. And because of them, the movement started around here. And I personally am grateful for these two men that they, when they heard the voice of God and they answered the call and kept the fire going so southeastern Wisconsin could start hearing the voice of God. Now, because of these men, I have three short stories that I wanted to discuss and talk to you about. And they're all very close to me. The first one starts around 1950 with a man named Dean Dixon. He was having a lot of problems in his life. They were actually starting to take a toll on his marriage. And he knew that things had to change. He knew that the way things were going, he might have ended up being divorced, and he knew that he didn't want that to happen. And around the same time, he was working for the Standard Oil Company and was driving a truck delivering oil out in Union Grove. And it was a cold, wintry day when this happened. He was driving the truck, and he was just getting ready to cross railroad tracks, and the windows were rolled up, and he couldn't really hear much because it was a storm out, when a train started barreling down on him. And the train clipped the front of his truck and tore the front end right off of it. And needless to say, if he would have been a little bit farther across the tracks, the next two stories that I have would probably be a little bit different. Because they might not have happened the exact same way. Because shortly after this had happened, there was a man that he knew that had been witnessing to him. And he invited him to a men's meeting. And they had the men's prayer meetings, I don't know, it was once a month, or I can't remember what the details on that. But he went there, and when he was there, he was introduced to the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus. And he knew that this is something that he needed in his life. He knew that he saw the joy in people. He saw the real love, but then he knew he needed in his relationship. And so he submitted to this, and he went to church, and he was baptized and received the Holy Ghost. And later that same summer, his wife, my grandma, was baptized in Jesus' name after a tent meeting in that summer. And if it wasn't for someone that was praying, that was witnessing, that was just wanting to show them the fire, that none of this would have happened, that if there wasn't those people, he wouldn't have been, things might have turned out different for him. He might have divorced. Things might not have happened. But it was for them, for those people praying for him and wanting to keep that fire going. Now, the next story starts around 1954 with a boy named Dennis. He was 10 years old in 1954 when he realized he needed to be baptized. And he was baptized in the basement of Bethel Tabernacle in Racine in a cold horse tank by Reverend L.R. Mitchell. So one of the founders of the church there. And Dennis's parents were raising him in the church and making sure that he knew all about God and his word. And at the age of 15, he received the Holy Ghost. But by the time he turned 17, he had been starting to hang out with the wrong crowd. And by the time he graduated, he had left church. And for many years, he was living a sinful life. And there are many, many stories I can add to this of things that God kept him from. But one in particular that I've always stuck out in my mind, and you'll know in a second why. was in 1966. Dennis was out drinking and driving his motorcycle when he ran into another biker and crashed his bike. He slid across the road for over 20 feet on his face. And then he was abruptly stopped by a mailbox post with his shoulder, and it broke the mailbox post. Now, when the doctors got a hold of him, they were amazed and even said it was a miracle that he would even be here, that he should have died because of this accident. But what Dennis didn't know is that his father was woken up, and they went later on. They looked at the times of the accident, and he remembered what time he woke up. God woke him up and said, "You need to pray for your son right now." And he submitted to God. And he said, "All right." And he bent a knee and he prayed for his son, his lost son. And he prayed for him, and guess what? He survived the accident. All because there was a father who was at home praying, keeping the fire going for his son. Now, in 1973, Dennis started a job working at Union Grove Lumber. And little did he know that God was still working in his life. He knew he needed to get back to God, but he was still kind of him and hawing about it. But he was doing less and less things that were sinful, I guess you would say. He wasn't drinking, he wasn't smoking anymore, he wasn't doing those things. And while he was working there, his brother-in-law started to work there part-time. And his brother-in-law had just gotten the Holy Ghost and was baptized, and he was like, and he said, and I quote this, "Dennis, don't you think it's time you come back to church?" He just outright and said it while they were working together. And he knew that God had been dealing with them, and he saw this open door, and he realized that he needed to do something. So Dennis went back to church, he repented of his sins, and he was refilled with the Holy Ghost. Now, Dennis eventually transferred to a church closer to home called Apostolic Faith Church. And my father has attended this church ever since and has raised a daughter and two sons in this way. And it was all because he had a mother and father that kept the fire going for him. Now, the third story is really close to home, and it's my story. In 1988, I was baptized in Jesus' name. And in 89, I received the Holy Ghost. But it wasn't shortly thereafter, a couple years, when I was about 14, I started to backslide. I started to just, you know, hang out with friends at school, and, you know, I'd come to church and praise Jesus, and then leave church and then go hang out with the friends, listen to the music, do all the things that, you know, the world does. And my life started to spiral downhill because I got into with a crowd that I really shouldn't have been hanging with. And by the age of 16, I had been arrested for my first time. Things could have been worse, but I had a mother at home that was praying for me, that was keeping the fire going for me. And I continued to, after I was done with that situation, I continued to still not heed to my parents' wishes, and I was still doing the things that I shouldn't be doing. And by the time I was about 17, 18 years old, I had met Catherine. But shortly thereafter, I was still doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, and I had been arrested again. And this time, I ended up spending about 4 months in jail. And while I was in there, I attended a Bible study. And I started to realize, you know, things could have ended up a lot worse for me. I was into some bad things where I was lucky to have only gotten the punishment that I had received. And I could have, and things could have been so much worse. And during this Bible study, I was praying and I realized, you know why? It's because you have a mother at home that's praying for you. And she's keeping the fire burning. So at 21, I ended up getting married to Catherine, the love of my life. I love you. You know, the thing was, though, I was still on a path getting back to God. I wasn't where I needed to be still. I was living an okay life, but I just wasn't where I needed to be. And one night, God shook me awake and gave me a vision. And it shook me to the bones. And it was my youngest daughter. And it was all my daughters, but it was my youngest one. And the vision, we were burning in hell. And my youngest daughter looked at me and was like, "Dad, this hurts so much. Please make it stop. Please help me." And I looked at her and I thought, "Sweetie, there's nothing I can do. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord, and he's not going to hear me." And it scared me that I knew I wasn't where I needed to be with God. And I knew that I needed to give everything to him. I needed to give him my all. And I decided at that point that, you know what, I need to give everything to him. I need to give my whole life to him. I need to turn it all over. Anything that's in there, God, just look through there and find it and take it. I don't want any of it anymore. All I want is you. I want my family to see you one day. I want to stand in heaven worshiping you, God, not sitting in hellfire. And so it shook me and it woke me up. And I realized it was all because I had a mom that was at home praying for me. And it wasn't until about a couple years ago, I think it was, my mom was talking, well, it had been more than a couple years ago. It was when my grandfather was still around. And I was found out a couple years ago, sorry. And then, but he had told her this when I was about 18. And I didn't know about it until recently. That she was talking to him and saying, "I'm so worried about Sam. I just don't know what to do." And he told her, he said, "You know what? God spoke to me. He said, don't worry about Sam. One day he's going to be a pillar in the church." And when I heard that, I just thought, God, all those years ago when I was not living the way I should have been, you were still speaking to people about me. You knew what you wanted me to do in my life. And then you gave a burden to my mom and my grandfather about me and to help me and pray for me and to keep the fire burning for me. Now, if it wasn't for those who went before me, I might not be here today. And it was those who kept the fire burning in prayer and continually praying that, again, I wouldn't be here. And this is why keeping the fire burning is so important to me and why it should be important to all of us. We all have friends and loved ones whose ships are swaying in the wind, but we're the light in their darkness, and we can be there for them, and we can guide them to Jesus. And we need to have that fire waiting for them here. We need to not just keep the fire going in church, but we need to keep it in our lives, wherever we go, so God can see it in our lives everywhere, where the people can see it in God in our lives everywhere. Parents, we need to keep the fire going in our lives so our children can see it in us. We can't expect our children to come up to the altar, worship God, praise Jesus, dance, sing, worship, do all those things if we're not doing it. We can't expect it. We are an example not only to our children, but to other people that are here as well. And we need to be an example everywhere we go, not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, but every day. And young people, we will never win our friends with an inconsistent walk with God. We need to stoke the fire in our lives and keep God the center of all that we do. As we stand, I want to open in this altar. And I want every one of us to just realize that that God has sent so many people before us to keep the fire burning for each and every one of us. But now we're here. And now we are the ones that have to keep the fire going for others. We need to keep the fire going for our families, our loved ones, our sons, our daughters, our mothers, our fathers. That's what we're here for. We're here to win other people to God, to create disciples. So one day we are not standing alone, but we have a church, a family in this church that can be with us in heaven. Hallelujah. So again, as we want to open the altar, just pray, Lord God, help me. Help me, Jesus, to just find what is in my life that I need to get rid of so I can make room to carry that firewood and put more wood on that fire so there's nothing hindering us. There's no serpents, no venomous things coming after us. Hallelujah.